More compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:35 on a record-breaking 77-degree day on March 13th here in Lansing. Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. So let's stick with this issue. What do Detroiters think about this option that is now in front of the city with the review team deadline on March 27th? Should the city get on board with the proposed consent agreement before it's too late? To talk about that, I'm joined by State Representative Lisa Howes, who has announced that she will be running for the mayor of Detroit in 2013. Lisa, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So what do you think when you hear Mayor Bing come out today and say that, you know, he's absolutely not signing on to this consent agreement? Is this a political statement he's making, or is he really saying that he'd rather go with an EFM?
I don't know that he's saying that he wants to go with an EFM. I know from the vantage point of those, of my vantage point, that the consent agreement came, the terms that's in them came as a surprise. It definitely doesn't speak to the spirit of the state actually assisting completely assisting the city of Detroit. It's more so dictating what the state will accept, and anything that goes outside of that, we're definitely going to get an emergency manager. So it's one of those take-it-or-leave-it type propositions.
You know, Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville yesterday said that, quote, there is no way I would support throwing more money at Detroit without some real structural reforms. He adds that Detroit already receives more state assistance per capita than virtually any other municipality in Michigan. Is that, in fact, the case?
Well, if you think about it, you know, the city of Detroit is the largest community, largest municipality in the state of Michigan, with more than 700,000 residents. The second city, probably next to the city of Detroit, is the city of Flint, that has about half the population. And so when you talk about that community requiring more of the state's resources, it's reasonable, because that's where much of the need is. So we can't just look at percentages. We have to look at the people who make up those communities and what those needs are. And I don't think that you can withhold things that people need.
Well, since you are here in Lansing in the legislature, is it clear to you that Republicans have no intention of giving Detroit any more money until they move ahead with either this consent agreement or an EFM?
Well, I think that that definitely is the sentiment that I've grown accustomed to hearing here in the city of Lansing, coming from this Republican legislature and this Republican-led governorship. However, there are other creative ways of getting those monies into the city of Detroit and putting them toward things that the city needs. I know that they're not interested in, you know, it's a principle of why give someone additional monies when they have demonstrated the inability in many ways to not manage the monies that they currently have. But that does not excuse the state from fulfilling its obligation, number one, to honor an agreement that it had made with the city to provide a certain level of state revenue sharing that the city relied upon, and actually did its part in holding up its end of the bargain and rolling back its city income tax. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. The second thing is the governor mentioned that the communities that have an emergency manager or are threatening to have an emergency manager are those that have lost population. And so if we get at the root cause of what's going on in our urban centers, I think that we need to begin to look at legislation or begin to enact legislation that's already on the table to provide the aid to those communities that is necessary.
I'm talking to State Representative Lisa Howes of Detroit. Now, Lisa, you are going to be running for mayor of Detroit in 2013 in that election. Now, if you were in Mayor Bing's shoes right now and you were mayor, what would you do differently than what he's doing?
If I could roll back the clock to when the mayor was first elected, I think that a lot of what we're seeing right now is a direct result of how the administration started. Decisions that were needing to be made at that time were delayed. And so now we're in a situation where it has grown to a crisis stage. The other thing is really about the relationships that were present for the administration and our union groups and as well as our community groups. And so what citizens are looking for is someone who they, number one, trust, someone who they believe in, that they say, if this is the direction that we want to go, we're with you 100%, and we'll follow your lead. Unfortunately, we've come to a place in time where people don't know what to believe. People don't know what to look forward to. And so when you have the state imposing its power over the citizens of the city of Detroit, it's a very daunting task or a daunting proposition to look up to.
Well, one thing that is clear is that Detroit city officials could themselves face their financial woes and decide to make the difficult decisions with the unions to make the cuts that are necessary to deal with this long-term structural debt. Why would you say, in your perspective, is that not happening, hasn't happened, and doesn't look like will happen?
I think a lot of what boils down to is know-how and having the proper expertise at the table. As many people, well, your listeners may not be aware, I did run for Detroit City Council in 2009. My tagline was, I am the only certified public accountant in the race. I was one seat away from actually being elected. But I didn't look at that as a failure. I actually looked at it as an opportunity to serve in a greater position here in the state of Michigan and have a larger opportunity to reach the needs of the citizens of the city of Detroit.
Would you say there's a level of either incompetence or irresponsibility in the way city officials, the mayor and the city council, have handled the situation?
I'd say what it is the issue of humility. I think oftentimes when we don't know, it concerns us or it bothers us to admit that we don't know and to ask for the assistance. But when we're trying to, per se, hold on to what we have or what we perceive to have, then it just makes it difficult because at the end of the day, 700,000 people are dependent upon the elected body that is in place, making decisions on their behalf.
For residents in the Lansing area who don't live anywhere near Detroit, why shouldn't their opinion be that if the city can't resolve its own financial problems, then the state does need to step in to avoid a default that could have statewide implications?
I think that that should be the concern not only of people in Lansing, but people all across the state and the city of Detroit. And I think that the citizens actually get that. But it's a matter of we know where we want to go, and we know where we need to go and where we need to be. The question is, how do we get there? And so what I've been looking for is for a partnership with the state of Michigan in the laws that we enact and how those laws impact the citizens who live at the effect of those laws is what's at root. And so when you ask, were Detroit Democrats in particular at the table when Public Act 4 was being enacted? No. Were any of the amendments, the more than 100 amendments that we proposed to the legislation, adopted? No. And so we knew that as this legislation was going forth, we knew that our community would be impacted. And so now what we're living at is the effect of cuts to revenue sharing, mm-hmm. A new program that says you have to, you know, meet certain other measurements in order to get what had been written into law as, you know, what cities are due in terms of revenue sharing. So these things help put pressure on municipalities and their inability to be able to meet the needs of the constituents that they represent.
About 30 seconds left. One thing the state can do other than provide Detroit more money right now, which obviously would probably be the first thing that the city would want. Other than that, what is the one thing the state lawmakers could do right now to help the city?
One thing that they could do is if you don't want to give monies directly to the general fund, you can help with initiatives that are needed in the city of Detroit. There's legislation that needs to be put in place to impact the lighting situation. We can put a moratorium on mortgage foreclosures because day by day people are leaving the city of Detroit, which only further erodes the tax base, which only deepens the financial instability of our city.
Lisa Howes, state representative from Detroit. Lisa, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.